There's no rules, no makoros, no shulchan aruch, no isurim. A person could go to a rabbi, and you know, if they cry enough or whatever it is, the rabbi waves a magic wand, and whatever he wishes to permit is permissible, and whatever he wishes, you know, kechomer biyada yotzer, sort of, you know, more of a Catholic type of approach. And it understandably seems that way, because a lot of times that's people's experience. You know, they come and they say it's hard. And nowadays there's also a feeling among some people that this is not the job of a rabbi. There was an article written, we'll dissect the article tomorrow a little bit, perhaps more, but a number of years ago, in which the article argues that this isn't the job of a rabbi. Rabbis should butt out of this matter. So what we're going to see today, Be'ezras Hashem, is that it's not true that there's gemaras and rishonim and rules and isurim and halachos, and there might be areas that are where a hashara based off the situation is called for, but it's not like it's hefker. So I think, though this might be a little disorganized, but what we'll do today is we're going to focus more on some of the gemaras, really two gemaras, and rishonim, and then tomorrow we'll talk more about the poskim, and we're going to revisit all the questions we do today, tomorrow. That's why it might be a little disorganized. Maybe if I had more time, I would have reorganized this year. But I think the mile of that is, you'll see how it's really a sugya, like any other sugya. Okay, so there's really two questions, and we're going to possibly go out of order, but I have a reason for this. I'm not sure it makes sense. One question is, what types of birth control are allowed? And the second question is, when is birth control allowed? We're going to talk about the what first, and then we're going to do the when. So the what, the primary sugya, is a gemara that appears in a couple of places in Shas, the sugya Shas Nashim Masham Shos B'moch, and I gave you that first on your Mar Makomos. Tani Rav Bibi Kamei Rav Nachman Shalosh Nashim Meshamshes B'moch Ktana Meuberes Umenika Ktana Shema Tisaber V'Shema Tomos Meuberes Shema Tase Obrasando Menika Shema Tigmo Bina V'Yomos V'Ezir Ktana Mibas Yud Alef Shana V'Yom Echad Ad Yud Beishana V'Yom Echad Pachos Mikan V'Yasar Okan Meshameshes Kedarka V'Olechas Devei Remeir. So Meir says there are three women that could use a moch. What's a moch? We'll define in a moment. Why these three women? In these three women, there's a danger of their getting pregnant. For example, one of his examples is a ketana. What's a ketana? From 11 to 12. Less than 11, there's no danger. They won't become pregnant anyway. More than 12, there's no danger because they're old enough to deliver a healthy child and the mother to be healthy. But between 11 and 12, apparently, there's a danger. And therefore, it's mutter l'shamesh b'moch. Or let's not use the word mutter, that's already taking a stand. Therefore, we apply the rule of m'shamshus b'moch. Okay? The chachamim omrim, achazu v'achazu, m'shameshus k'dark v'alachas, they disagree with the halach of shalshanash m'shamshus b'moch. And we presumably follow the chachamim. Shomer Psaim Hashem is a very interesting sugya. When do you say that? When don't you say that? Could it be that certain forms of danger we wouldn't apply this rule? We're going to talk about all that question, but Shomer Psaim Hashem, and therefore we don't say it. So let's figure out what's going on over here. So what's a moch? So we'll see in a moment, but Rashi holds the moch is b'shas tashmish. Presumably, she's like we talked about moch dachok when we were learning hilchos nida. She puts, I don't know, cotton or something into osomakom, and presumably we're talking about some type of barrier method of contraception, that the moch prevents the zera from entering the rechem. According to Meir, it's mutter for shalosh nashim. Now, interesting, why is it not chayev? In other words, Meir holds there's a sakana here. Okay, maybe Meir himself holds also you're allowed to be somech on shomer psayim Hashem, you just don't have to be. And according to Chachamim, it's aser. Why? Since shomer psayim Hashem, so therefore there's no heter. Interesting question. Again, what would the Chachamim say if there's more of a sakana? Would we still say shomer psayim Hashem? Not clear. Another question, which isn't clear, is what iser are we talking about? Right? In other words, according to Rashi, let's say, like we said before, seemingly less than 11, more than 12, it's aser. What's the iser? And if it is aser, why is it mutter for shalosh nashim? In other words, there's another option. We could just say, don't have tashmish. Right? We'll see later. That's Taisus HaRash's question on Rashi. In other words, if you really think this is something that's aser, so then it's aser. We're not matir yisurim. We're matir yisurim for sakana. That means when the alternative is sakana, so, you could be machal Shabbos, the makum sakana. But here, who told you to have tashmish in the first place? Now, obviously, it's a married couple, they want to have tashmish. But if something was mamish aser, we wouldn't permit it. We wouldn't permit tashmish b'moch. So, what does that tell us? Now, Tosfos assumes that the Isser for Rashi is because of Ashchasa Zera, and you also see that from Rashi Ksubos, you have that in your sources as well. Rashi Ksubos says, Meshamshos b'moch mutter lahen l'shamesh b'moch ve'enan k'mashchiso Zera. So the implication of Rashi is that when it's aser l'shamesh b'moch, which is always for the Rabbanan, and most, most of the time for a mayor, it's aser mishum hashchasa zera. But under these circumstances, it's mutter. Either because we're matir hashchasa zera, you have to figure out why that would be, or because under these circumstances, it doesn't constitute hashchasa zera. So let's look at Tosfos. Shalosh nashim shamshus b'moch, perish b'kuntras, mutter l'shamish b'moch, aval shar nashim aser, mishum ashchas hazera, aval gav, deloy mifkada piriviv, so Tosfos notes there's a bit of a chiddush here, you might have thought, women are not mitzuvos on ashchas hazera. What is the iser of ashchas hazera is a very interesting question, and there are a number of possibilities. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah it's aser to be mashchas hazera, but we do know that there's a sugya erev and onen. There are other sugyos. So it's not clear what the isser is. So one possibility is it's a type of bitul puravu. And then you might have said that nashim that are not mitzvos of puravu wouldn't be shayach to the isser of hashchasa zera. Now, that of course isn't so simple because here there's a man involved as well. So we have to figure out how that plays into it. But anyway, Tosfos notes that according to Rashi, Afagav de lo mifkada perivirivya, and therefore you might have thought there's no iser. No, Rashi holds there is an iser, and therefore it's normally aser. The chayin mashma, in other words, it's also mashma that there's an iser ashchasazera for women, even though they're not mifkada perivirivya. Benida, ditznan beperkol ayad, amar be livdok benashim shubachas, benashim tikatzix. Checking, let's say for zivus, for a woman's a good idea. For a man's a bad idea, because when you check, you could bring kishu, you could lead to ashchasa zera. Umefarsh b'gemar mishum, dinashim lav benos hargasha ninhu, mash madiavu benos hargasha havayasa. So the Gemara says, why do we encourage women to do bedikos? Because they're lav benos hargasha ninhu. Implying that, let's say they were benos hargasha, let's say doing a bedika caused an arousal, like it does for a man, so then it would be aser. Now, sort of interesting. Sounds like what type of zera, hashchasa zera we're talking about, zera of the isha, right? In other words, If women were b'no sargash and then it would be asked them to do b'dika, al tashchas zera. Who's zera? They're zera. In other words, we always have to consider two issues in terms of the din of hashchas zera, the male zera and the female zera. What exactly the female zera is also an interesting sugya, not for now. Chazal assumed women have zera as well. Isha ki sazria, right? Isha mazras trila, whatever that means. Umihu, matzinu lefarish t'la b'nos iser hargasha. No, you could have read the Gemara differently. It means they're not shaykh to the iser hargasha, in which case there's no raya that there's an iser hashchas zera upon woman. So you'd have to then read the Gemara de lo kirashi, it sounds like. Rabbeinu Tam omer, de lifnei tashmish vaday aser. No, he's a different shot. That lifnei tashmish, what Rashi is describing as a moch is, like we said, lifnei tashmish, that for sure is aser. It's never mutter. It's aser litein sham moch, dein derech tashmish bekach, v'harei hu, kimatil zera al ha'etzim ve'al avanim, kishimatil al amoch. In other words, Sosa is telling us a rule when it comes to the dinim of hashchas zera. There is a difference whether it's kederach tashmish or not. Right? In other words, we know, everybody's going to agree, that it's mutter to have tashmish hamita, even though we know that the tashmish hamita is not one that could possibly lead to pregnancy, like a ketana, or a woman who's pregnant, or a zekena, or the like. There's no question about that. Nobody's going to say that's hashchas zera. So why? So that's derech tashmish, says Tosfos. So now we want to figure out whether whether moch is mutter or aser. So if it's moch lefnei tashmish, we can't say it's kederech tashmish. In other words, that barrier of the moch makes it equivalent, according to Tosfos, of being matil zera al ha'etzim v'alavanim, which would be aser. And therefore, you can't learn the Gemara like Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So then, what's the pshat in the Gemara? Avalim no senes moch achar tashmish. We're talking about something else. Moch achar tashmish, meaning to say she cleans up that area with the moch. Ein nira lasor. Probably that means there's no iser at all. Dehai gavra ki orche mishamesh. Right, the tashmish was totally normal. Midi davek tana v'ailanis. Delo itzerin b'tashmish mishum delav b'nos manim ninu. Right, so once it's normal tashmish, then there's no iser. So what would that mean? That would mean practically that, a very interesting idea, that, but she's now going to have to reread the Gemara. Right? It can no longer be the pshat that the machlokas is whether it's mutter or aser. According to Meir, it's mutter b'shal shenashim kutachamim, it's aser, because we're talking about moch lachar tashmish. Moch lachar tashmish is always mutter. So it must be the pshat in Gemara is like this. Meir holds shal shenashim are chayavos l'shamish b'moch, and that's because of the danger. And the chachamim say no, they're not chayavos shomer shem Hashem. If they wish to have bitachon, they can do so. But is it mutter for them to mishamish b'moch? Of course it's mutter, even according to the Chachamim. Because we're talking about moch lachar tashmish, what's the problem? And presumably under all circumstances it's mutter, which is important because you might have thought that moch lachar tashmish is a form of hashchas zera as well, right? Because after all, you're literally taking the zera and you're destroying it. So Tosfos doesn't seem to be concerned about that. Right? So that is another machlokas. Another Tosfos says, as long as the bia took place, kederach kol haaretz, the bia is fine. Right? The moment that we're concerned about hashchas zera is the moment that he's motzi the zera. At the moment that he was motzi the zera, it's totally okay. And then the fact that afterwards she decides to go ahead and remove that zera doesn't make it aser. Okay, so there's a bunch of disputes here between Rashi and Tosfos, just to summarize, right? We have the question of whether it's moch lifnei tashmish or lachar tashmish. We have the question here of whether nashim are muzharos al hashchas zera. we have the question of whether it's mutter or aser, that's the way Rashi is the Gemara, as opposed to mitzvah or eino mitzvah, that's the way Tosfos is the Gemara. We have this debate about whether you'd ever permit moch lifnei tashmish. And then there's a lot of uncertainty in Rashi. For example, according to Rashi, why is it mutter lifnei tashmish for shalosh nashim? Is it pshat that this is kederech tashmish? And he disagrees with Tosfos. Tosfos says this is like etzim avanim. Rashi says no, this is kederech aretz. Or is the pshat no, that maybe it is kematil etzim avanim, but it's still going to be mutter because we don't want her to get pregnant. And what's the isser of hotzasar levatala that comes from when we want her to get pregnant? We don't want her to get pregnant. Then yeah, this is hotzasar levatala, but it's going to be mutter under these circumstances. Now that doesn't mean you could do anything. How far you go is a discussion. Gemara discusses that elsewhere. There are tanaim that even say that, let's say, it's a situation where a woman is nursing and we don't want her to get pregnant. You could mamish bidash mifnim and zormi bachutz. We might not paskin like those opinions, but this we would allow. Right? In other words, that's going to be the question in Rashi. Is Rashi disagreeing with Tosa saying, no, this is, kederach haaretz, this is derech bia? Or no, he agrees with Tosfos that, under normal circumstances, this would be ketzim alabanim. That's why it's aser taka if she's less than 11 or more than 12. But still under, at least her mayor holds, that due to this quasi-sakana, we're willing to be makom. Okay, so let's look at some of the other Rishonim. We'll see basically that there's a third mahalich somewhere in between Rashi and Tosfos. In a whole bunch of Rishonim, especially the Chachmei Sfarad, though, as Rav Moshe is Mayrich to try to show, there might be some interesting, subtle, and very significant nuanced differences between them. But we'll start with the Ritva. So, what does the Ritva say? Shalosh nashim shamshus b'moch, Pirush Rashi, mutar shamshus b'moch, kidei shelo yisabru, Pirush l'perusho, d'shar nashim asuros l'sham yishaf al-gav, d'lo mefkidi api v'rivya, mikol makom asuros, Hein lahashches harauy lahoilid. Oh, so first of all, he clarifies that according to Rashi, why is it aser, less or more? Because you are being, when you use this moch lifnei tashmish, you're being mashches zera harauy lahoilid. Very interesting. So maybe that's why it's not mutter this time. It's mutter now. Avagav the kol orche the chol ki orche ein bo mishemosh chas zera da bias ketan vaylanis muteris tashish moch lav orche arahu. So first of all, he's telling us in Rashi, this is one of our uncertainties in Rashi, and he's telling us Rashi certainly agrees that this is lav orche arahu, right? V'chol dahave le moch b'shas tashish avila didei eke yisura, so it's asher on the baal as well as her. Probably the havei lai k'mishamish alvan v'al etzim v'chileisim moch shashash v'shikayisur v'dida. In other words, moch lachar tashmish might be an iser for her. Moch lifnei tashmish would be an iser for him and her because it's k'mishamish al etzim alvan. Right. So the way he's learning Rashi very significantly is that this is k'mishamish al etzim alvanim, and yet under certain circumstances it's going to be mutter. Umiru ein pesha benu zal mechuver. De'i shalosh nashim utarus l'shamish b'moch amar kain. Ki amrinan kodem hazman hazeh v'shameshes kedar kavo laches v'ayinu shenu mutar shalshamish moch v'amaykem shenu mis'aberes kol ikar eina moch ma'al morad klum. This is an interesting question. Why can't you use the moch for the ketana, right? Does the moch that you're using in any way prevent pregnancy? No, it doesn't. So why should it be usher? Now, you might have said, well, that's because it's lav orech ara. But he doesn't want to say that, because then it would be aser later. So let's see. V'od, rabbanan de'amri, achazu v'achazu m'shamesh kedarka, asu l'meimra defilhani gimel, eina mutaros l'shamesh b'moch v'amai, keim dekasakana klal, he'ach machnisas atzman mishum shom sarim Hashem. Right? We're talking about a sakana here, so how could the Chachamim answer it? V'anachem, d'chayavos l'shamish b'moch kamar. L'Depesh Rabbeinu Tam. So he's going to accept half of Tosfos. He's going to accept the Pshat and Tosfos that the Gemara is talking about Mutter versus Chayev. Chachamim, Rameir says Chayev, and the Chachamim say you're not Chayev. That half of Tosfos is going to explain. But he's going to read the Gemara like Rashi, that we're talking about a Mochlef Neitashmish. Upachus mikem v'yeser alkein, einan chayavos ela pamim utaros, kigon ketana, upam asuros, kigon gedola. So Halach L'maaseh actually comes out more lenient than Rashi. Conceptually, not necessarily, but practically, yes. Because he's going to say, of course a ketana, right, 10-year-old could be Mishon Rashi's Mamoch. Why not? She's not getting pregnant anyway. And if she's 12 or 13, then it's going to be Aser. Rabbanan amida filu elu misham shos kedarka, and if they wish to, below mochim yirtzu venu chayel shamash moch. Oh, it's very important, right? Now, the Torah comes out of Halacha L'maaseh, according to the Ritva. If you ask the Ritva, can shalosh nashim be misham shos b'moch lefnei tashmish? Yes. What about a ketana? Less than 11? Yes. What about a gedola? A 13-year-old? No. Right? That's what comes out from the Ritva. And again, the other very interesting thing is, according to the Ritva, at least Bedas Rashi, Moch Lefnei Tashmish is Begeder Eitzim Avanim, but it's Mutter for Shalosh Nashim. And the Ritva thinks it should be Mutter even less than 11. Now, let's try to think about his question for a moment. What's his question? According to Rashi, right? And he accepts this, presumably. According to Rashi, when we aser moch, it's because it's begeder mishamish al yitzim avanim, right? And his question is, why should that be aser less than 11? It should be mutter, because she's not becoming pregnant anyway. In other words, even if there's no particular need for it, it shouldn't be aser. So what does that tell us about the nature of iser tashmish b'moch? The nature of that iser, of this form of being ma'atel etzim abanim, is because the Torah wants her to get pregnant, and therefore when you do this act that prevents pregnancy, that makes it into hashchas hazera, that makes it into ma'atel etzim abanim. Whereas, if the Torah doesn't want you to become pregnant, either because of the sakana, or because it's impossible anyway, because you're too young, so then it's not. In other words, he's looking at the Isser differently than Tosfos. The way Tosfos looked at the Isser is in very black and white terms, right? We look at this act. Is this act an act like the Matil Eitzim Abanim? Like having that barrier there, then it's hashchas hazera l'vatala. Nothing else really matters. If the act isn't, so then it's not. Right? But the Ritva is Mahalich, and this is his Mahalich himself as well as within Rashi, is that's not quite true. No. The act is important, but also the context is important. And the context will determine the permissibility of the act, so that the same act under certain circumstances is begadir matil al etzim avanim, and under other circumstances is hater gamor. Oh. Right? One way to understand this is that the reason why it's mishamesh al etzim avanim is because of, it's not because of the barrier per se, it's because of the, you're lowering the quality of the bia. This is a bia that could have created a pregnancy, and it's not. So by turning a bia that could have created a pregnancy into a bia that cannot create a pregnancy is now is now an act of hashchasa zera, right? The way I think some posts can put it is that you're mima'et the echos habia, right? And that could even be after Tashmish. We'll see. Right? Okay. Now, what about the Chachamim? So the Chachamim say that there's no iser for her to become pregnant. According to Rashi, that means it becomes aser, becomes kematil al etzem avanim, and that's where the Ritva disagrees. And Ritva says, no, it might still be mutter, it's just not chayev. Okay. Now, that's Agav. What about his second question that he asks on Rashi? How did he answer his question, right? What was the second question on Rashi? Second question on Rashi was, how in the world could the Chachamim say this? It's a sakana, right? How could the Chachamim say it's asur according to Rashi, it's a sakana? So how did the Ritva answer it by saying the Chachamim are just not saying it's a mitzvah, right? But it's still a sakana. So what you see is that the Ritva understands that the Chachamim, the Torah, when we're dealing with this, at least quasi-sakana, where it's possible to say Shom Shai Hashem, so it's not shaykh that the Chachamim will say it's Asr L'Shamish B'moch, because she might be endangering herself. But the Chachamim could say Mutter L'Shamish B'moch, or it's Mutter to say Shom Shai Hashem, right? In other words, according to Chachamim, Chachamim would never have prohibited a moch if there's a quasi sakana, but they might have said it's your choice. You could go ahead and use a moch, or you could say shomer psayim Hashem, which is very interesting. Good. So right. So what do we have so far in the sugya? Just to summarize, we have three biurim according to Rashi: moch kodim tashmish, and Reb Meir says it's mutter, and the Chacham says it's aser. According to Taisvis, we're talking about a moch after Tashmish, according to Reb Meir, Yerchayv, and according to Chachamim, it's aser. And we have this black and white definition of how to understand the geder of Hashchasa Zera / Kematil al Eitzim Havanim. And then, according to the Ritva, and we'll see later, this is the view of the Ramban, the Ra'ah, the Talmidei Rashba, others, that moch kodem Tashmish, for a ketan and gimel shan shnashim, according to Reb Meir is chayiv, and according to Chachamim is mutter. Right, let's try to understand that. So, why is it mutter? Why is it mutter for them, according to the Chachamim? Right, why is it mutter? So, the Ritva actually didn't clarify that point. Let's look at some of the other Rishonim to get an idea about that. Maybe we'll look at the Rebbe of the Ritva. We'll jump to that. The Ra'ah. So you have that a little later on your source sheets. This is the Ra'ah in Ksubos, which is the para, you know, same sugya more or less. The Zal HaRa'ah, this is a citation of the Ra'ah from the Shita Mekubetzes. Though I think it's the same if you actually look it up. Of Zal HaRa'ah, Zal, Talmido, Pirsh Rashi, meaning Talmido, he's following the Ramban. Zal muter so shamesh v'leisei lahai perusha dimkein, and he asks the same questions as the Ritva. Elavadai chayaves l'shamesh b'moch kamrinan v'chulei. The Chachamim omrim de'enan asuros aval reshus b'yadan aval iser l'balei en leka. Why? Sheharei heim ein mashchisin v'su mishum onanami mutter. So let's try to understand that statement. So let's look at the second part of the statement when he says v'su mishum onanami mutter. What's he adding by that? L'chora, what he's saying is it's not levatala. Why? Because it's l'tzorach ona. In other words, it's a good reason. And this is going to be very important. We're going to see Rav Moshe develops this idea, and this is one of the sources that he cites, that how do we define Hotzar Zera Levatala? So as we saw already before, Tosfos has a very rigid black and white definition in which we look at a particular act and we say, is this Hotzasa Levatala or not? But other Rishonim, we're going to see, have a more fluid definition. They focus on the word Levatala, not just the act. Is this Zera Levatala? If it's for no good reason, then it is Levatala. If it's for a very good reason, it's not Levatala. Right, so, for example, this isn't our sugya today, but let's say you want to do IVF or some other fertility treatment. So you need him to be motzi zera. So if you could do it, you know, the best way to do it is they have bia kedarko, and then you extract the sperm, and then you use it for the treatment. But let's say that's impossible for some reason. So many poskim are going to be maker. Why? Because it's not levatala. Moshe has this interesting idea of miyaf biyat. That's still, that's always going to be aser. It's a chiddush. Not all poskim accept that. But the point is, it's not going to be otzazer levatala. Why? We're not looking at the act. Okay, the act is you know, this is not kederach tashmish at all. It's into a test tube, right? But is it levatala? That's not levatala. This is the whole goal is to try to create children. So what he's saying over here? He's saying, so this act, they're having tashmish, and they're using this molch lifnei tashmish, this barrier method. And why is it mutter? The second point he's saying, is because of a mitzvah, the mitzvah of ona. It's not levatala. Now, you could read it actually two ways. You could say that since it's ona, there's a heter. But I think the pashtus is that ona's matir, what would otherwise be begeder hashchasa zera. That's the way Rav Moshe learns, by the way, in the tshuva. We'll read through parts of the tshuva a little later. It's in your sheets. That the pshat is onas matir hashchasa zera when you're mekayim onan. And of course, this is when that's the only way to be mekayim onan. In other words, since over here the normal way to be mekayim onan is impossible because the couple there's this potential danger in terms of becoming pregnant. So therefore ona is a matir, and that's much more because he really has two svaros, right? Number one, the first thing he says is sherei ena mashchisim. It's not clear why it's ena mashchisim. Maybe because there's no possibility of becoming pregnant anyway, right? Let's say in the case where she's a ketana, so there's no hashchasa zera anyway, and moreover, ona is a matir, right? Ona is a matir. So, it's going back. We'll go through some of these Rishonim more carefully in a minute. But what comes out, basically, again, in the third Mahalach in the Gemara, is that if it's we're talking about Moch Kodem Tashmish. And when we're talking about a Ketana or Gimel Nashim, according to Meir Tzchayev, L'shamish B'moch, and according to Chachamim, it's Mutter L'shamish B'moch. Why is it Mutter? Right? Answer A. Because sharei ena mashchisim, like we said, hard to know exactly what that means. Ena mashchisim. Let's take a look. Another maybe way to understand that line of ena mashchisim. If you look at the Talmud HaRashba, which is a little later on in the Shita Mekubetzes, over there in Ksubos, Talmud HaRashba. So Talmud HaRashba sounds like it's not mashchisos zera. Right, he says the lo aminan hashchas zera elok shroi lahazria v'zeh kevan she'eno b'makom shroi lahazria lo karinan hashchas zera. Right, let's say she's either it's because she's too young, so therefore it's not roi lahazria, or because she might actually become pregnant, but it's not going to produce good offspring like. She's already pregnant, and nidmsa ubra samdol, or whatever exactly that means, whatever the concerns were with the shalosh nashim. right? So number one is it's not hashchas zera because it's not roi lazria, either because it's impossible or because it's dangerous. And again, there is, according to the Chachamim, the ability for the couple to decide, is this dangerous or not, right? They could take the approach of, we're going to have bitachon shomer psay mashamer. They could take the approach that, no, we see this as dangerous, we're concerned, we're not going to do it. Visu, moreover, mishum ona nami mater. Ona is a matir. In other words, even if we are going to see this to some degree as an iser of hashchas zera, so we're going to be matir that iser, alts ona. However, that's with these shalosh nashim or the ketana. But for gedola, the ritva said no. It's going to be aser. Why? Because this very same act will be begader kemishame shalitz and vavanim. That lachor which comes out from the ritva, and similar ideas from a number of these other chachmei sfarad. I guess we won't read them inside. I recommend that you do. But again, you get the impression from the ritva, the ra'ah, that ona is a matir to some degree.
Just to clarify, Kodim Tashmish and Mishash
Tashmish. That's what we're talking about.
Mishash Tashmish is the same as Kodim Tashmish.
Yeah. So yeah, you can't put it in after.
I understand. Yes. Can Rebbe summarize? I'm sorry, maybe just to summarize the Shitas one more time, because we did it and then we said it was going to clarify something, and I don't get that.
Okay, yeah, so the Shitos. So according to Rashi, we're talking about Mochlefne Tashmish, and the question of the Gemara is. Mutter, Aser, Meris is Mutter of Shalosh Nashim, but not anybody else. And Chachamim say Aser even for Shalosh Nashim. And according to Taisvis, we're talking about Mocha Achar Tashmish. And the question of the Gemara is Chayev versus, let's say, Mutter. And then the approach of the Ritva, another Chachmei Sarad. Again, there are nuanced differences between them. We're not going to focus on that right now. Is that they read the Gemara that we're talking about even Mochlef Netashmish, like Rashi, but they read the Gemara like Tosfos, that we're talking about what? We're talking about Chayav versus Mutter, and therefore, even according to Chamin, it's going to be Mutter for Shalosh Nashim and Ektana. And again, we are Mosif that the Prat, what comes out, and this is true also B'das Rashi, to some degree, and their shita, which is that normally this might be aser, because aser meaning mochlef netashmish would be aser, because it's considered to be in the shamish alitzim avanim. But here, it's going to be mutter, and there are these two factors. Number one is it's not so much, it's ena mashchisim, and that's because it's not. The reason why it's Einim Mashchisim is because it's not Rawi Lahazriya. And then the second, either because she can't become pregnant or we don't want her to become pregnant. And then the second point is because Ona is Matir to some degree, some level of Hashchas Zera. Good. Now, if we go on in the Rishonim, the Tais Sarash in Yivamos, we mentioned this before, you have it just so you see it on your sheets. He makes this har on Rashi and on the Chachmei Sfarad as well, which is, again, he takes that more black and white approach to the Isra of Hashchas HaZera, in which case he's saying, if you're going to say this act is sometimes Hashchas HaZera, then it would never be mutter for Shalosh Nashim. It would never be mutter b'makom sakana, right? If you take a look, we'll just read it inside, because it highlights the point that we were saying, that Nekudas HaMachlokas, right? V'yevshar lefarish kapirish Rashi. I'm reading again, everyone see it, the Taisa Rashi and Ivamos. Can't say like Rashi, D'ilu ha-nashim mutars v'shar nashim asuros. D'imash misimos ha-moch b'shas tashmish ha-vi kemati olitzim ha-vanim. V'kevan d'imash ha-zaro kemei v'imavu li-aylam. Lo mistaber shi'atiru le'elu ha-nashim b'shiro simuchas oina. D'mutav shalo isham shuklal. Right? In other words, again, here we have the question of the black and white approach to Hashchas HaZera versus the contextual approach, we'll call it, to Hashchas HaZera. Now, it's actually interesting, because if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you won't see the sugya come up. That's a big problem, right? What are you supposed to do? We just went through this whole complicated machlekes. We want to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. So one of the reasons why the Mechaber doesn't bring this down is because we pass him like the Chachamim. But in light of what we've just seen, that's not so pashut. Now, it slips in the back door a little bit in the Evan HaEzer Simen Chav Gimel, the Beis Yosef quotes a Tshuvas HaRash, which you have over here. Let's take a look over here. Very important question. Kazav HaRash B'tshuva Sheshalta Isha Sheyesh La'otem B'rechem B'inyin She'en HaShamish Dash Kara'oi Lo U'mitoch HaOtem Pamim Shehu Dash Mibachutz U'liol Muzor Mibachutz. So there's some type of obstruction over here that prevents the Eiver HaZachar from entering. Sometimes it's dash bifnim, sometimes not. And it's always zorem ibachutz. Shu aser, kevan deliola muzar bachutz, karina be v'shiches arza. Ve'af al pisha lefamim udash me bifnim, v'kol makom, kevan sheliola muzar bachutz aser, v'griya min meshameshes b'moich. Says the Rosh, this is aser, because he's zor bachutz, shiches arza. And this is worse than meshameshes b'moich. Tahasam hu mishamesh kederach kol haaretz af al pi shein zaru roi lazriya midi dehavi akar zakeinu ktana. Well, that's very interesting. What type of moch are we talking about? What does this mean? So if you take a look at the next source you have over here, a very interesting pischei tshuva. This is in Sif He of Simen Chaf Gimel. Ayin Tshuvas Chemda Shlomo Alzvar Isha Achas Asher Arofim Pe'echad Gazu V'amru Shem Tis'aber Tia Mesukanes Me'od V'chas V'shalom Yerla Meha Ibor Sakanas Maves. You have a woman here, if she becomes pregnant, she might die. Nemutas L'shamish P'mochlef Neitashvash. Could she use this? The kasev lepalpel the sugya b'shalosh nashim mishamshes b'moch, right? So we know, based off of our learning the sugya, that this would be subject to a machlokes rishonim. According to Taisus, it might be aser. According to the Chachmei Svarad, it would be mutter, and maybe even according to Rashi, right? Because here it's a vadei sakana. So it might be worse than Shalosh Nashim. Maybe Rashi would agree with Das the Chachamim. Not as clear. So the Chemda Shlomo was Mekil. This is Derech Tashmish, right? Which is a bit the mashmos of that Rush we just saw in the Tshuva. If you figure out how that corresponds to the Taisus Rush. And there might be differences. There might be yeshuvim, right? In other words, this is considered kederach kol aretz. The only time the Rosh was said, yeah, you know, unfortunately, this couple can't have tashmish, is because it's not kederach kol aretz. Why? Because l'maisi zorim bibachutz. But here, where you're zorim bifnim, there's just this barrier of the moch lifnei tashmish. So then it's mutter. And that's true, very significantly, even though we paskin like the Chachamim. Even though we paskin like the Chachamim. Maybe because the Chachamim are only machmir by Shalosh Nashim, because anyway they probably won't become pregnant or other chilukim that we said before. Here it's a Sakana Gemura. So good, that's what the Chemda Shloima says. However, they're tremendous machmirim. So we're going to read the summary of the machmirim. The big machmir with the Chassam Sofer and Ruki Veiger. Now, in your tshuva, in your source sheets, I have the Chassam Sofer and Ruki Veiger printed out in full with the underlined, important, most important chidushim underlined in bold. We're not going to read it together. We'll just read the summary in the Pischei Tshuva, though. It is very kedai to read these inside because, you know, before we read on, from what we've learned in the sugya, the kula of the Chemda Shlomo is very mistaber, right? Unless you're going to be choshesh for Tosfos, this should really be mutter. It's very mistaber, it should be mutter, right? So let's see. Why are there machmir? Ulam b'chassam soifer sha'ala kazumamish umasik ledina de la seis moch b'shas tashmish vadai de'en lahatir. Right? So mamish, in this case, basically, we have a situation where without a moch, without some type of barrier method of contraception, they can't have tashmish. She might die. So what does the chassam soifer say? Aser. If that's the only method you could use, right, a couple can't have tashmish for the rest of their life because of the danger, right? So, you know, we'll get to some of the more modern applications of this, but certainly both a condom and a diaphragm would unquestionably be aser according to Chassam Sofer, even b'makom that if she would become pregnant, she would die. And the only way to prevent pregnancy is by this barrier method. Now, there's obviously a problem in reality. Achar tashmish is not particularly effective. At least we haven't figured a way there's a morning after pill. Talk about that. But generally, other than that, barrier post tashmish is not. Nothing on the market that is guaranteed effective for that nowadays. Avalein l'rishus l'shtame l'hashchazaro b'li ritzono afilu kvarkim b'rivirivya avein raya midvisu d'rebichia d'afsher b'yimeihem shani d'yocholisa ishal ishto. So there's a problem because the Gemara tells a story about a woman who after they were Mekayim Pru Revu, she drank some type of kosher ikrin, even Shalobir Shuz Baila. So over here also, she should be able to be Motzi de Zara Shalobir Shuz Baila. He says, no, maybe that's different, because there he could have married a second wife, nowadays he couldn't, or there he could have divorced her. Im Tav Labanim Mashen Kim Ismanenu, De Ika Chendrin Gershom, Lo Taseb, Lo Rishu, so Ein Shem, Fein Shuz, Rib Kiva Eger. There's actually two chuvos that I put on your marmakomas. You really have to see both. Machmir me'oid b'zeh. Wow. V'day today in lahatir af achar tashmish. Oh my gosh. Ach was imenayim beis. Sham chazer v'iskim la'rav ashol lahatir lasas moch achar tashmish. In this case where the woman would die, we're allowing only moch la'achar tashmish. Ksider b'dikos charm v'stakin ad makum shashamish dash. Very interesting. We know she could do b'dik after tashmish. So... right, she has to sometimes do a bedika achar tashmish. That's moch achar tashmish. Sometimes we say it's a mitzvah, and then we're going to say, "Oh my goodness, if she does this, she even makom sakana, she can't do it." Ulam lidchay kamoch. And just remember, we also saw that discussion, by the way, by Pleita Shechvazera. Remember all those women who wanted to start Shiva Nikiyim before 3 days, what did the Rishonim say? Okay, we don't know how to do this practically, but the Rishonim allowed her to be poiletes shechvazera. Okay, maybe that didn't get at all. An interesting question. Yesh lomer d'aser, fine. La'od b'zeh b'ismer b'nasam. Okay, so that is some of the achronim. Now, why in the world would they be so machmir? So, again, if you learn like Tosos, you could understand why you would come to such a stringent conclusion, because you'd basically say, look, lemais, in the end of the day, this is hashchas zera moch lefnei tashmish. And like the Tosos Rosh said, so what are you going to do? It doesn't matter that it's sakana. Sakana doesn't matter you to have bia, so don't have bia. Okay. The Tzemach Tzedek, you have that in your next source, is Mekel, along the lines of the Chemda Shlomo. Read it. Short, so we can do that. Mashkaz ben Hashemayim Yirachmu, Shenem Hashem Tzayim Hashem, Haynu Shalol Yikra Kein, Afilu Al Tzad Amiyot, Avol B'isha Shuriya L'Tzaber, Kizom She'enam Yigim Al Mashma Nal, Vim Kein Al Pi Rov Tzaber, Vim Ha'ibor, V'Haleidu Yesh Kshash Gadol Isha Zil. When is it that the Chachamim disagreed with her mayor? That's when the concern wasn't very significant. right? Why? Because it's it was you know, odds are anyway she's not going to become pregnant. Why? Because let's say she's already pregnant. But in this case, where the odds are that she might become pregnant, moreover, there's a great danger. There's no machlokas between chacham and meir. We don't. We only say somer psayim Hashem when it's not begader being somech al hanes. Okay, very interesting question. Moshe has a couple of fascinating tshuvas about this. When do we say ein l'smoch al hanes, and when do we say somer psayim Hashem? Right. In his smoking tshuvas, he talks about this, and in his seatbelt tshuvos, he talks about the very interesting questions. When do we say dash pei rabim and not? But not for now. But the point is that there's definitely a level of sakana where we certainly don't say Shom Shem Hashem. So then, of course, says the Tzemach Tzedek, the Chachamim would agree to Remeir. Daha mina nasa l'smoch al hanes. Mitoch kach misakem es halacha de b'isha acheres asher rov nashim misabros v'yoldos im yesh chshash sakana de ba'ibor v'leida af shachshash eno atum. It doesn't have to be a chshash like she's going to die. No. Even like a lower level chshash, like shama tigmol espina, where we know that the kid's not necessarily going to die, right? You can get a wet nurse. Degam im tigmol adayin chshash sakana in a gadol, afal pichein, muteres l'shamish b'moch. So again, in your sources, you have the tshuvos of the Machmirim. Take a look over there how they learn it. Very, very hard to understand why they're so Machmir, at least for me. But that's their conclusion, right? So again, now, what's interesting is, so again, Moch la'achar, lifnei tashma is going to be aser, according to Rikki Veger, some sofer under all circumstances. The truth is, if you read the Rikki Veger carefully, I think it could come out that a pill would also be aser under all circumstances, because it's not, it's like a moch lifnei tashmish b'das Rashi and a Rishonim, that the way he understood Rashi, this is not the only way to understand Rashi, but the way he understood Rashi is that moch lifnei tashmish, at least at a certain point, is not Begeder k'mishamish aleitzim avanim. How do we know that? Because of what? Because then it wouldn't be mutter for shalosh nashim, right? In other words, he shtups Rashi and the other Rishonim into the Taisus perspective a little bit. Now we saw, we declared in Rashi. According to Rashi, what's the pshat when it's mutter l'shamish b'moch, let's say shalosh nashim? Is it pshat that it's k'eitzim avanim but it's mutter? So he says, lo yitachin. It's k'eitzim avanim. It should be yasser, right? It must be that it's not aleitzim avanim. So then why is it aser the rest of the time? Because you're not allowed to have bia in a way that you're gorei menias herayon. Right? That's why it's aser the rest of the time. But shalosh nashim, that we're matir, at least according to Meir. So now, if so, so then that's exactly what you're doing when you use the pill. Right? So maybe not. Maybe you'll say, no, you're not going in the Yasei Rayon like the Moch. Rather, the Pshat is you're preventing ovulation. Right? In other words, there is Mazria, just prevents. So then we'd say it might depend on what type of pill it is. Right? Some types of pills prevent ovulation. Other types of pills cause barriers. Right? Like the progesterone-only pills. They create an excess of mucus, basically, which serves as a barrier. So maybe, according to Rikki Veger, then it would depend what type of pill. Okay? So this is a very interesting question if you hold it by Rikki Veger. And again, that's basically the other mahalich of looking at the sugya. That Rashi holds, the other Rishonim that are Matir, Mochlef, and Neitashmash, of course they agree it's not Kematil, Eitzim, Avanim. And yet it's still Asar, because you can't do an act that prevents pregnancy, even if it is kederach kol haaretz. Their reading of Rashi is very machmir, but as we saw in the Rishonim understanding of Rashi, it doesn't sound that way. It's very difficult when you look at the Rishonim. Now, the next tshuva I gave you is from the Achiezer. The Achiezer disagrees with Rabbi Kiveger. It's really a challenge to Rabbi Kiveger, and he develops a whole mahalich in the sugya of Pru Revu and the like. His mahalich basically is that kederkal aretz depends on what's normal to do under these circumstances. And the iser of hashchas hazera relates to the possibility of becoming pregnant. And that's why there's no iser lifnei tashmish for ketana, because she can't become pregnant. Right? Remember the Ritva and the Chachmei Svarad, that's what they said. Right? As opposed to Rabbi Akiva Eger's understanding. Akiva Eger explained that was because since the Isser is on her and she can't become pregnant, it's okay. Rav Chaim Moser rejects that and he has his own Mahalech. But again, if we had time, we would work on that. I give you a fascinating Binyan Sion. I'm not going to get into this at all, but it's more on the perspective on when we say Shomer Psayim Hashem and when we don't. He has a very interesting theory. When he's wondering why it's mutter on Shabbos, you know, we say you can be chal Shabbos for a sveik of sakana, tiny, but you're allowed to do dangerous things the rest of the week, right? But you're allowed to be a sailor even though that's dangerous. So what's the difference? See, it's this chiluk that there's a difference between before and when you're already in a safik sakana and the like. And anyway, we're not going to get into that. The tshuva I want to work with you on, for obvious reasons, is this tshuva from Rav Moshe. Yeah?
I just understand the fundamental idea that the post-Rav Moshe chose was that their Kalahara define, or even the Ritva defining of the Mishnah. Like, where do we show that from? Like, where do we see that the history of the Torah is. You know,
well, they get that very simple.
The
answer is very simple. They get it from the fact that we know it's mutter to have tashmish hamita, even though it's absolutely usher, even though it's absolutely impossible for the woman to become pregnant, like a zakena, like a pregnant woman, whatever it is, right? And we know tashmish is mutter. So, what these rishonim say? So, how do you define the iser of hashchas zera? Can't say the iser of hashchas zera is to be motzi zera in a way that doesn't allow for the possibility of pregnancy. Because if that were true, so then it should be usher to have tashmish with the zakena. So it must be that the geder is defined by the physical act. Is this like the paradigm, you know, we have extremes. Right? We know that kimat eletzim avanim, you know, maise erva onen, is usher. Right, that we know. Chayv misa. And we know that, on the other hand, having bia with the zakena is mutter. Right? So, how do you resolve those two things? Answer, according to these Rishonim, is we look at the act. If it's kederach tashmish, then it's mutter. It doesn't matter that you might, that it's absolutely impossible for it to become pregnant. And if it's not, so what's a clear-cut example of not is dash mibifnim zar mibachutz, ma'aser v'omer. Okay, so those are the extremes. Now we have to start going, you know, what about in-between cases, right? What about a barrier, let's say? Mochlef netashmish. So do you see that more like the case of ma'aser v'omer, or do you see it more like the case of bia imazakena, right? So that's why the middle area is less clear.
Is there a Gemara that talks about myself, Ergo? Or is it just Bino Rashi?
Okay.
I mean, I know it's Usser, but we said like it's not so, the Isser is not so.
The Isser isn't so clear. That is,
right.
Usser is clear.
Right.
What the Isser is isn't clear. Some, is it Ritzicha? Is it like Ritzicha? Is it just Bittel Pru Revu? That's a question. But that it's us, or there's no question.
If it's Bittel Pru Revu, it's hard to argue it's about the act, meaning.
Not at all.
So the concept,
no.
The result of the.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not as obvious, but I wouldn't say it's impossible. Because whenever we talk about a Bittel Mitzvah, there's always a very big difference between a Maisev Shel Bittel Biadayim versus a passive lack of fulfillment. But what you're saying is, you know, your haros are correct, which is why we have a room for all these both debates and then places of obscurity. So let's take a look at Rav Moshe. So, what time is it? Rav Moshe. So, we don't have time to do Rav Moshe Taka. It's a long tshuva, as you can see here. But you should definitely read Rav Moshe. It's tremendous. Tremendous. These tshuvas of Rav Moshe that we've seen, these long tshuvas. Oh, it's not like Chizuk before Rav Shavuos for Matan Torah. You just read these tshuvas. But Imamish goes through this sugya with painstaking detail. Let's look a little bit. Let's get a little bit of the flavor. We'll look at Anaf Beis. Bine betam shitas Rashi shechol anashim asuras yesh beis shitos. Hari betais v'sksubas lametes over shehum itam dekevan de'amochu b'me'aha be'es hatashmish havei k'mishamish ala etzim alavanim. So what's pshat in the Isser according to Rashi? Right? Again, when we were going through the sugya, we were clarifying the shaila. So the Ri Bedas Tosfo says that it's k'mishamish shal etzim avanim v'lachein lo dami l'mishamish k'tana v'aylonis du derech tashmish u'lefi zeh havei Isser b'didei that it'd be Isser on the Baal v'chein pirsha Rashi l'b'shitim kubetzes k'subos v'ritva b'yavamos, which we saw. Right, so one mahalich is that it is k'mishamish ezem avanim, but still mutter under certain circumstances. Chartam u'amot l'fiza eich shayach lahatir zeh b'makom sakana l'saber hayach l'gamrei shelo livol, right? Which is basically the kash of the Tosfos HaRosh, right? The big kash in Rashi Shita is if we understand that according to Rashi this is k'mishamish alitz mavanim, so how could it be mutter under any circumstances? Skip towards bolded. Aval kasha tuva al Rashi v'shit l'shitas hariv al Rashi arit v'yivamos upelash alohiksha kushya chamura zoom. Okay, and that's the Rishonim asked the kasha, the Tosfos HaRosh asked the kasha. Right. Now, Reb Chaim Ozer gave an answer to that question. He said that's because since they're not able to become pregnant, or they shouldn't become pregnant, it's not begeder, mishamish alitzim abadim. But let's see what Reb Moshe says. V'anachon ani ez daiti. Dine kushya zu, hu me'od yoser teima Reb Elazar, demachmir. He says an amazing thing. We don't paskin like Reb Elazar. Elazar is a very interesting shita. On one hand, he's super duper duper machmir, ni iser vashchas azera. Ad kedei kach, anidan daf yad gimel, v'chash lezet tuba, yoser michachamim, damar kol ha'ochiz ba'amu mashtin, ki'ilu mevimap liolam, v'lo chash, afilu laz banav, so you can't hold yourself when going to the bathroom, when urinating, and even where lack of holding yourself will cause people to be motzi laz in your kids, because they'll say they're the mamzerim, because they'll say from the way in which you're urinating that you couldn't possibly have been their father, still it's aser. Why? Because it might, when you touch the ama, it might it might cause hotzazer levatala. We call makom sovir biyavamos daf lamedalit shekol chav dalit chodesh dash mevnim zarmi b'chutz. The 24 months after a woman gives birth, they are allowed to have tashmish dash mevnim zarmi b'chutz. Av shotzazer levatala mamishu l'kulei alma. That my nihizde sovir kumeir shetzarch lachosh leibur. Okay, it's true. Mary's very worried about the woman becoming pregnant. He sees that as a sakana. How could he be matir hotzazer levatala? Right? Let them not have tashmish. That he said before. The Yizbor Reb Elazar de Zera Levatala Shaaser Ein Perusho Levatala Meholada Shu B'chol Ofen. Hotzah Levatala does not mean Hotzah Zera that cannot impregnate. No, that's not what it means. Sheyasher Laholid Botzah Kazu Ela Perusho Levatala Mamish Lo Tzorech. Translation of Hotzah Levatala is what? Hotzah Zera Lo Tzorech. Avol B'yesh Tzorech. Kigoyin l'mitzvahs oina. Okay? Now, when there is a tzorech, what's a tzorech? Ona. Ona is a big tzorech. It's a mitzvah. So then it's mutter. Right? So since our mayor holds, you have a mitzvah of ona. And he thinks that you can't have normal tashmish during the 24 months after pregnancy because he's choshesh, that that's dangerous. Ad kedei kach, that he says you could be dashmer bifnim mizarmi b'chutz. We don't pass in that way. At the same time, he also holds that that's not a stira to sheet about touching the ama when you're urinating, right? Because that is levatala. The ha'iru einai b'rosi mefurish tam zeh b'ritva k'subos b'tam rishon amad b'ktana oimu beres oyakara zekena lo yichash if hashchas zera misha mitzvahs oina ein shom. That was the ritva we read carefully together. What did he say? He said, why is Rashi matir and why is he matir? Moch lifnei tashmish. It's kemashches alitim avadim. What did the ritva answer? What did he say? Ona! At least that was one part of what he answered. Right? Ona. Ona. Yeah. Ona's matir ashchasa zera. Why? Because it's not levatala. Why is it not levatala? It's lakai mitzvah ona. Oh. So, this is Bal Tshuva. You'll read on. I'll just mention one thing, since you guys learned the Darm this year. But one of the things he proves that he notes that this is taka the subject of a machlokas rishonim. Not everybody that learns Rashi that it's kemashchas etzim avan kemishamish al etzim avanim, but still mutter al tzona. So then we have to figure out who we paskin like. But he says you want to know what the Ramah paskins. The Ramah is clearly very makel about this shita. Why? Because the Ramah, as you all know, is matir. Is matir b'yishalei kedarka b'akrai. So Rav Maisha, what in the world is going on here? Right? If you look, it sounds like if it's not akrai, so then what is it? It's a tzazer levatala. And if it's akrai, so then why should it be mutter? Right? And here, there's no mitzvah, oina, right? This is an ona, it's opposite of ona, it's inui. Opposite of ona, and yet it's mutter. So take a look how he explains that Ramah. This is in Anaf Gimel, five paragraphs in, the paragraph beginning Abal Fize Nicha, Dekeven de Perish Levatala, Hu Levatala Mamish, Ein Bashum Tzairech, Umitam Zim Mutter Letzairech Mitzvahs Oina, Vesimchas Ishto, Lachain, Savri Hari Veharash, Mitzada Gemara Dinudarim, Mekrad Vechikach Ish. Isha she'elakuha lasos ba'kol cheftzo. So you do need a pasuk. Shemizeh amar Rebbe hatayra hetirasa ein shambiran. Shebe'inin ishos le'ish im ishto hetira tayra lahachshev gamzeh shemis avel livol shaloi kedarka kitzayrach ve'inil vatalo mutter. As what's the pshat? Why is it mutter? Right? So obviously B'yishalo kedarka cannot make a woman pregnant. And it's not even normal. So says, what you see from that pasuk is that this is considered letzairech. What's a tzairech? The tzairech is that a guy had a mishigas. Right? As Rav Moshe points out, it's less hana than normal bia. But the guy's got this mishigas. Juk barosh. And that he wants to try this thing out, called B'yishalo kedarka. So now, that's considered letzorech. So it's not hotzah zera shelo letzorech. It's not levatala. V'zeh shematirin rak b'akrai. So then it should always be mutter. Yishem be'etzem lo hayetzarech lehisavos. Lezeh. Because it's less hana than normal. Ela shehanasai. Put in a very long footnote here. Mu'ates mi b'kedarka v'rak b'akrai shayach lis'avos ke'en hataiva l'miyot taima d'isura. b'avodah zarah. B'ochel parush v'yitosh pirsh Rashi lefi time shalotam liolam. Think that k'mo kein hacham misavel shalokadaka machma zeh b'akrai. In other words, you basically want to try something that's normally aser. So that's considered a reasonable taiva based off of the pasuk. So it's normal, so it's mutter, even though it's considered hotzasa levatala, if it's not bakrai, right? Now agav, and this is what that long footnote's about. We're not going to get into this now, but this one of the questions that a lot of young men want to know is oral sex and things like that, and that question relates to this. In other words, it is hotzasa levatala much of the time. Is it mutter? Maybe it's only be a shaloka darka, because that does have a chaloshen tashmish, or not, right? The Prisha talks about this. The Prisha sounds like maybe that too. You could be matir based off of this svara. So anyway, now is not the time to do the sugya. Once we're agav on the topic of be a shaloka darka, just mentioned very well ago, always says it's aser. For Ramah says it's mutter, it's not the hashchasa sara levatala if it's bakrai, but it's aser for a different reason. It's because it's inui. It's aser not allowed to cause pain to your wife, but that's a different issue. That's not what this Ramah is talking about. But anyway, so what the point though is that he's proving that if we adopt the approach of this Ramah, so then it comes out that Hashchasa zeh v'atala is, a need, a reason, a good reason, is matir hashchasa zeh v'atala. It's matir hashchasa zeh v'atala. Ad kedei kach that even b'yishlo kedark is mutter, based off of the pasuk. Oh. So, and there's, I have here another tshuva from Rav Moshe afterwards, but let's summarize what comes out from Rav Moshe. So according to Rav Moshe, b'makom sakana, so even according to Chachamim, there's a heter l'shtamish b'moch. And he has a whole discussion over there, but they only disagree when it's considered somechal hanes, and when it's considered shomer psayim hashan. In other words, machlokas remeim Chachamim is a machlokas in the sugi of bitachon. Very interesting. And then he says, l'fi ma'a d'kai malan, that b'yishalo kedark is mutter b'akrai and aser b'ofen kavua. Right, so did I explain that point? So why is it aser b'ofen kavua? Because then it's no longer what? Then it becomes levatal again, right? Because, okay, you know, juk barosh, so that's matir once, whatever akrai is, right? But then you tried it. You see it's not even as much as normal. And you go back to normal. And if you continue to be mamshech at that point, that's not considered letzorach anymore. There's no point in it. So now it's shuv levatala, right? It's shuv levatala. And according to that mahalech, you see that the gedder of the iser v'ashchasa levatala is only in a way that it's levatala. Levatala being defined as lo tzorach. Legabe moch lifnei tashmish. So then Rav Moshe, going through the whole sugya, argues there's four deos in Rishonim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, in Yevamos, there's never a heter at all, as we've seen, because it's not gederach kol haaretz. According to some Rishonim and Rashi, the Ritvan Yevamos, the Reintaisus and Ksubos, and the Poskim that are Matir B'yishloi Kedarka, Moch Lifnei Tashmish is normally Mishamesh Al Eitzim Avanim, but it's Mutter B'makom Ona, when there's no other option. And that's because it's not Hotzar Sel Vatala, because it's Letzorech Mitzvahs Ona V'Simchas Ishto. According to the second pshat in Rashi, he thinks this is the pshat of the Ramban, the Ra'an, the Talmud of Rashba, Das Rashi, Moch Lifnei Tashmish is only mutter because Rashi thinks Moch Lifnei Tashmish is Kedar Kol Aretz. And the reason why it's normally Aser is because of a Gzeira, without getting into the details why. And then, they don't necessarily hold of this expanded, or this new, novel definition of Hotzar Zera Levatala. And then according to other Rishonim, other than Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, they hold like Rashi, except there's a heter from Moch Lifnei Tashmish even before Ketana. So how do we pass him? Yeah?
So
this is a little tough to visit there now, but Bert's the rose sacrificial Kedarka. Literally, the Gemara talks about a Tanayim who said, what can I do? So I was just wondering methodologically, I understand what Ravul is saying, but.
Yeah, Haitachin, you can't argue with it.
Okay. Gemara does argue with it.
You could ask him. It's a good question.
What's the why is it back? I don't understand that. Is there a reason why it's not Zera Latala for the first time? Because he's a Jukka Rosh, that's considered a Tzorah.
Right.
Like, that's not, why is that considered a Tzorah?
That's what the Pasuk teaches you, that the Gemara quotes. The Kapasik teaches you,
only one time or whatever,
whatever our cry is, that there's such a thing. People have Mishigasin, right? So the Torah sometimes caters to Mishigasin. Nobody would say it's a good idea. But the Torah caters to Mishigasin. This is a Mishigas. So as long as Mishigas is also considered a Tzarech, right? So
that, weighing that against the Beri Chomerisser, which we know...
It's not a Chomer Isser. The way you're looking at it is all wrong. You're saying, on one hand, Juk, on the other hand, Chomer Isser. If that were right, then Vade would be Asser. No, the Pshat is that through the Pasuk teaches me that Juk Barosh is considered some type of, it's not Levatala, right? It's a valid expression of Hanas Olam Hazeh, right? And therefore, since it's a valid expression of Hanas Olam Hazeh, so is it Levatala? No, it's not Levatala, it's not Aser. But at a certain point in time, you tried it, you saw what it is, you say, oh, this is stupid. Okay, now, you go Viter and do it again, so that's Levatala.
Is that just, like we said before, it's not just the act that defines the
absolutely.
The other...
Our question is this considered Levatala or not? Right? So, the Torah, is machshiv. The Torah's attitude towards Hana is, certain things are aser, certain things maybe are not great, or maybe midas chasidus to avoid, but are okay. But the Torah is not saying they're aser, and the Torah legitimizes. Over here, you see such taivos. Okay. Yes.
May relate to a broader question, but how do you relate to the case towards the Zohar that Tosos, the Ramah's Shita based on Tosos, you never say that if you saw the Zohar?
Okay. That's some of the Ramus coming from the Zohar. The Ramah, Rav Moshe didn't say we pass him like the Ramah. He just said this is what the Ramah held. We declare whether we pass him like the Ramah or not. And that's not our topic now. We're trying to understand what did the Ramah hold in terms of the Gadir of Hashchasa Zara. That's what we're trying to figure out. Okay, maybe we hold to the Ramah, maybe we don't. What about the Zohar? And what does the Zohar change and the like? Okay, good. Now, how do we paskin? So we said, according to Rav Moshe, there are four shitas and rishonim, four mahalchim. Right? So we don't really don't paskin like one. Taisus Rabbeinu Tam. That's a das yachad among the rishonim. And therefore, there are going to be cases where we're going to be matir a diaphragm, which is mochlifnei tashmish, more or less. What about a condom? So Rav Moshe says, this is going to be totally in the machlokas rishonim. According to the first school of thought, right, Ritva, Yevamos, Ri, and Taisus and Ksubos, and the poskim that are matir biyishalo kedarka bakrai, then it's going to be mutter to use a condom at times. We're not saying always, but at times, at certain times, where no other options are available, it's condom or bust. So then, it's going to be mutter. According to the second sad in Rashi, it will be usher. Right? Or at least we can't know it's mutter. Because what was the second sad in Rashi? That moch is not considered kimashchis aleitzim avanim. So maybe a condom is. In other words, it's only a moch or a diaphragm where you say, yeah, this is kederach kol haaretz, because there is no barrier between him and her. The barrier is simply one which prevents the sperm from going further. But in the case of the condom, it could be that's worse. Could be it's the same. It's not clear. But you couldn't be matir it, because you couldn't say that just because we're matir mochlef ne tashmish will also be matir the condom. Not true. Because mochlef ne tashmish are matir because it is kederach kol haaret. It's not like mashchis aleitzim avanim. Maybe the condom isn't. Right? As opposed to, again, the first school of thought in Rashi, who would say, yeah, mochlef ne tashmish is kemashchis aleitzim avanim, but it's still it's mutter for ona. So then we could also be matir a condom for ona if that's what was necessary. Okay. So it's Tali Namachlokas Rishonim. There were some poskim that are Mekel. Moshe himself writes in that second tshuva that you have about that, V'lachem l'isha sheyesh l'chsha sakana im ein eitz acheres ala shetashmish v'harabar begufa ki hiskim sheish lovesh ein lahatir l'maisa. So at least in print, in the second tshuva, despite the fact that he thinks it's machlokas rishonim, he writes ein lahatir l'maisa. Now, there are, in light of what we've seen, different views among the poskim. For example, I believe Rabbi Willig is very, very hesitant to be matir a condom. But if it's going to be a long time and there's no other option, here's what to talk about, right? For example, somebody once asked me, they went to... the husband went to a Zika-infested country and got a mosquito bite. And the wife was pregnant. So there's danger to the vlad. So that's the question. Well, the metzias and this and that, all these shilas. So what Rabbi Willig? So under certain circumstances, could we... So what the doctors will tell you in that case, if you ask the doctor, doctor says, use a condom. Can't use anything else, right? Nothing else is going to work. Because diaphragm is going to help, because his zera is still going to get inside of her, and that can... it can infect her with Zika, and that could have an effect on the vlad. So, sorry, Willick, of course, told me you have to call infectious disease specialists. So he gave me people to call. So at that point, they all told me... this wasn't a country, it was Miami, and Miami had been clear for a year by then, and they said, in light of all the things, and you know, I talked to the couple, and they were okay, in light of the mitzias, so Willig thought, in that case, there's no room to be lenient for a condom. But, you know, there are situations where, you know, I don't think she's Mako if they can't have tashmish for a month. They can't have tashmish for a month, we'll say don't have tashmish for a month. 3 months, it's a different story. So in other words, now, going back to Rav Moshe, so after reading this Rav Moshe, you think, wow, Rav Moshe is such a big makel, so he's going to be... Rav Moshe is only matir, even moch, when there's a sakana. Where there's no sakana, kim'at never. So, for example, in Igros Moshe Chilak Aleph Samach Beis, there it's talking about a woman who, after she had a son and a daughter that were healthy, she gave birth to two sons that were very sick. And according to the doctor, future pregnancies would likely also result in that same sickness. And what is the result of that sickness? The kids won't live past two. So, right? So we have a situation where... if she uses a diaphragm, she won't become pregnant. But if she doesn't use a diaphragm, this is an older tshuva, right? They didn't have all the options available to us nowadays. If they do it, if they don't use a diaphragm, then odds are they'll have children that'll die within 2 years. Rav Moshe says it's aser to use a diaphragm. Why? There's no sakana for the woman. What about the kids? It's better that they be born than they not be born. Because if they're born, they go to Olam Haba. They don't. If they're not born, they don't. That's what the Gemara says. There's a lot of tsar for the parents, and a lot of tircha for the parents. Right? I can just imagine that. Ein lahatir af lahamatirim. Meaning, even for those who are matir b'moch, this is not grounds to be matir b'moch. I hold moch as matir. But only when there is a sakana. This isn't sakana. He's matir, in this case, spermicide. As long as it doesn't cause a barrier. Wow.
Why is he matir? Is it a bit Or?
No, they were Mekayim Pruvu. They have a healthy son and daughter. Hashchas Zera. It's only not Hashchas Zera when it's Letzorach. Right. So what makes so Sakana's mutter? This isn't Sakana.
Is there a question that it's serious? I mean, why is he saying spermicide is mutter?
Oh, why is spermicide different?
Because of the action.
There's no, yeah, there's exactly. No, I'll read you what he writes. Aval inyan ha-meshicha b'sam she'ein davar chotzeitz b'ein ha-zera shelo yikanes la-rechem rak she'notel b'zek koach ha-holada she'yesh b'ha-zera mistaber she'einu ela k'koshel ikrin. V'memela adif mi-koshel ikrin. Right, so we already saw before that women could take the koshel ikrin after the husband was mekayem puravu. So over here, if we were to be mati her koshel ikrin, then we'll be matir this. Right? Presumably he would allow for taking the pill in this case. But not the diaphragm. There's another tshuva where he's a little more makel because the kids will be very sick or have disabilities and they're not going to die. Then he's matir diaphragm. Shebe idna, this is Igros Moshe Chel Gimel Simen Yud Beis. Mustabir of the zoo chai choshashas leledas banim bali mumin mekevin sheish tsar gadol utzar l'shanim harbe. This isn't just tsar. This is for their whole life is going to be tsar. They don't just die after a couple of years. L'kol chayaha it's going to be tsar. Then yesh lahatir b'moch if she's afraid to use spermicide. Shelitzar kazeh afshar ena mishubedes lebaylo tash mishpof and shetucha lesaber umemelim. He has a whole popo. Fine. So, good. So that's the first half of today's shir. I guess it's the end of today's shir. Okay, let's talk about what we're going to do next. I want you to for tomorrow. To prepare the Sugyan Yevamos, which you have next on your sheets. I didn't give you Maimon Kamos for tomorrow's sheets. This is just the Maimon Kamos for rest of today's year, which is going to happen tomorrow. So the Sugya and Yevamos that you have over here, and specifically do the Rif, the Balamor, and the Mochamos. This is very important. Very important. What does the Mochamos mean? There's a big machlokus between Rabbi Schechter and like everybody else in the world about how to understand that mochamos. If you want to hear Rabbi Schechter, he talks about that in his headline shiurim with, what's his name?
David
Lichtenstein. David Lichtenstein, yeah. So he has a... And you should also read, by the way, Rabbi Schechter's article in the RJJ Journal, volume number one. And tell me if you think that the way he explained the Mochamos in the RJJ article is the same as the way he said it in the headline shiurim. And then you should move on to the Shulchan Aruchs that I put over here on your sheets. I would try to look at the Tumas Hadeshin I quote. I put a bunch of Shulchan Aruchs and Nosei Kalims. And then you have to work very hard on the sheets of the Rambam. The good news for you is that tomorrow when we do the Rambam, you'll see it's mamish a Shvuas Dika Inyan. Because the Rambam's Shita, which is very important in understanding, is the Gader of the mitzvah of Pur Revu, insofar as it relates to Talmud Torah. I want you to see the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish deals with a very important question. One of the questions we're going to be dealing with is like this. And this is going to shape a lot of all the practical questions. Not the extreme questions that we just talked about, but the more everyday questions, which is, when is something considered a bittul mitzvah? What do I mean? We know, when a mitzvah has a particular time, so then I know what the bittul mitzvah is, right? There's a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema Bizmana. So if I don't say Bizmana, I was mevatel the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to say Birksa Mazon. So if I don't bench while I'm still sated, so then I was mevatel that mitzvah. But what about a mitzvah that doesn't have a specific time associated with it? Like Pur Revu. Is it a bittul mitzvah if a person says, I'm going to be mekayem it just later? Right? So this manifests itself in two ways. Number one, a person wants to delay getting married. Right? Rambam says you're mevatel Pur Revu if you don't get married by 20. Anyone here get married at 20? By 20? Okay. Anyone mishtadel before 20? I wasn't mishtadel before 20. For many years before 20. Okay? There's Talmud Torah. We have to figure that out. What is Talmud Torah? But that's a question, right? And likewise, it's a question after marriage. Right? Under what circumstances can a couple, to use the Lashon of the Rambam, not be mevat, not have tashmish b'chol ona, which obviously means, according to the Rambam, tashmish that could pregnant, right? The Rambam says it's a chiyuv to have tashmish b'chol ona. And if it's not, it's a bittul Pur Revu. Right? If you're on birth control, you're not having, you might have tashmish b'chol ona v'ona, but it's still a bittul Pur Revu. Right? So what's that gather? Right? So the couple says, Ma'pitom, I'm not bittul Pur Revu. I'm not, of course I'm going to want to be mekayem Pur Revu, just later. And what about before any children and after children? Or what about one child? What about Pur Revu? What's the relationship between Pur Revu, Sheves, and L'arev al Tana Ches Yadecha? How do those relate to each other? So anyway, those are the questions we're going to be dealing with tomorrow, Rav Sessions. So try as much as you can to at least see some of the basics in the sugya, especially the Gemara we showed in Shulchan Aruch. And Nosikim. And if you want more, I recall most, when you finish those, let me know, because I didn't give you, I didn't finish making them yet, actually. Okay. Have a good day.